Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippers. Before we start today's show, I have a favor to ask. We just launched a listener questionnaire, and we're asking you to take 3 minutes of your time and to head over to bluewirepods.com/roadtrippinsurvey to complete it. Now, what these surveys are is they help us to better understand who's actually listening to the show, which will help us then reach the right advertisers, which really means you get to keep listening for free. So if you don't mind, take a few minutes to help Richard Channing and myself head over to bluewirepods.com/roadtrippinsurvey to tell us more about yourself, and you'll even be entered to win a $200 Amazon gift card. Who doesn't love Amazon? That's bluewirepods.com/roadtrippinsurvey. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Welcome into this legitimate road tripping. The three of us, the three amigos, are live from the Wynn Las Vegas inside the Blue Wire Studios. I've been so excited to come back here. We were here in March. Channing was on a little screen over there. And I remember sending you text messages saying you would be so pumped and excited when you came out here to see this studio. And when you walked past, you're so shy right now.
Yeah, no, I'm actually... I'm just taking it all in. It's a really good studio.
It's really nice, right?
This is really tight. Right? Yeah, yeah. You did a good job explaining it, but it's better than how you explained it because there's a little liquor store right next door.
Well, the liquor store, and you're not used to the... So people at, you know, on TikTok, we're not telling anybody, but there's this... You can basically see in here and walk by and just crack jokes. And so Channing's a little nervous that people outside can hear the things because normally we record and...
Oh, no, I'm not nervous. There are certain things that we edit that I have a sometimes I have a potty mouth that, you know, children are watching.
Here comes your crew.
My squizzod. Oh yeah. Team Sanders Sports Entertainment.
Where is Team Sanders?
He just took the last flight out. Shout out Doug Sanders.
Oh. For those that remember the early days of Road Trippin', the one episode that never made air that still to this day really upsets me. God. Is the Logan Fry episode.
Yes.
So I have one brother. He is a unique individual. And this is the greatest episode ever. We are bored out of our skulls in Indiana, as most people are.
No, you guys were on a mission to win a championship.
Well, that too. Yeah,
we were bored out of our minds in Indiana. We were bored out of our minds in Indiana.
Here's how I know that was a good time. I remembered that podcast almost more than us being down 27 and coming back and winning.
In that game.
In the next game.
Oh, the next game.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty wild. Like, to be like, oh, yeah, you're down in a playoff game.
But in your defense, Channing, you're a bit aloof, right? You're a bit aloof.
I like that. Okay, I can
do
that.
He hit the game-winning three and had no idea.
He had no idea. So we're walking out.
It wasn't game-winning. No.
Yes, it was.
Seconds left.
Okay, so we come all the way back. Channing, excuse me. I was only on the court for a little bit. That second unit came all the way back. And after the game, like, it was an epic comeback. After the game, me and Channing are walking back to the hotel, and somebody in the street was like, hey, nice game winner, Channing. And Channing's like, that wasn't a game winner. I'm like, Channing, that three was with, like 8 seconds ago. He's like, it was? Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to be present, except I'm not good at numbers. Again,
I have you saw an open shot.
Three, and it was right next to their bench. So whether we were up 30, down 30, I was going to shoot that thing, and I was so ready. I had the wackest shit-talking comments to them. I was ready to say anything.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of not being good at numbers, my dad has this epic drinking game called Biz Buzz.
Oh, God.
And you sit in a circle, and you're all drinking, and anytime you come across, you count as high as you can. Anytime you come across a three or anything divisible by 3. It's biz. Anytime you come across a 7 or anything divisible by 7, it's buzz.
You lost us already.
Channing's eyes.
I was like, you lost me. You lost me all the way.
Yeah.
All
done. Yeah, I'm going to be asleep by biz 0.
Biz 3. All right. 30. So really to set the table, because we're going to have a slew of episodes that come from this.
Right.
We are here tonight, which is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, different, an array of guests, if you will, from
yes.
current players to talent in the media, to big names, to coaches.
Logan, we're going to get Logan's bitch ass
I've
back
really
on here.
Been trying to get Logan.
I don't know why Logan just caught a stray.
But nonetheless, it's Summer League weekend. It's obviously a big weekend. And so I want to get, did you guys ever play in Summer League?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they changed the rule because of me.
What was the rule?
The 10 foul rule.
Wait, no, what does wait, that mean? That you could get 10 fouls in Summer League?
That is yeah, a fact. Yes. Please look
did
this up.
Did you play in 1960? What?
Okay. Yeah.
I played in 2005. And...
I graduated high school.
I was playing against Amari, and uh-huh. I
you
just
kept
decided.
Fouling.
Yeah, I kept hacking the shit out of his ass. It was not like not on purpose, but like, as
what
a
are
rookie,
you supposed to do?
What are you so like? There's no one in college to prepare you to go against Amari Stoudemire at like.
And he was rookie of the year that year. He was rookie of the year.
And
that
he
year.
Was mad that he had to play because every time he scored, I think he looked back at the bench like, "Yo, get me out this game." So I had to take that punishment. But, yeah, I kept fouling. And the coach was like, I don't care. You can't foul out. So
then they made it a 10th foul. Like, 10th
yeah,
foul,
like
you foul
10
out.
10 is enough. 10 yeah. is enough. It's the Channing Frye rule, I think.
Yeah.
But we're just going to go with
it. So that. Wait a second. They really had Summer League without fouls. I'm still hung up on this.
Well, no, you can't foul out. That you can't foul out.
Well, if you watch Summer League because, at the end of
well,
Summer
the
League.
Well, the point of Summer League is truly to get reps and to have guys get experience. So you don't want a guy to be in foul trouble in the first quarter or a guy struggling to stay on the court because he's in foul trouble over the course of a game. It's like, no, this is for you to play. This is pick up with referees and no one can foul out. That's the purpose of it, is just to get guys experience.
Yeah. If Derrick Rose as a rookie or, excuse me, that was a burp.
That was a burp.
Or like Chet or some of these higher-end guys are playing and they get 2 fouls and don't play, people aren't going to come watch these games. They want fans to be able to see these players at the next level playing faster college basketball.
Yeah. That part.
Really, that's what they want.
Yeah.
They want to see them play.
What was the quote that you just read me from?
So I was talking to my guy Henry out there, and he was like, what do you think about Summer League? And I was like, I think Summer League's great. For certain people, but I think Summer League is just faster college. It's just faster, more spaced out college. If you are dominating college, for the most part, you're going to dominate Summer League. Right? And dominate meaning you can take over a game for 6 to 8 minutes at a time. So everyone thinks, oh, these players should, from college, if you're the number one pick, you should have 50 and 40 and 20. No, because at the end of the day, you're also playing European guys who are trying to make
the NBA.
You're
yes.
playing men.
Yeah.
But you're not playing, you're not 22 where you're playing like Utah State or some other
teams. This is the G League. You're playing in the G League right now.
For sure. You're playing men who know how to play, or like Moses Moody. We were talking about that. He played on a championship team, and now he's playing Summer League. He's like, this slow.
Yeah,
game.
I've been chasing everybody.
Okay, so
if you have a high draft pick and you bring in Jalen Green, he has the talent and the wherewithal to dominate the game. To where now your high draft pick doesn't get an opportunity to be their full self.
Fair.
Because if you get somebody like 1, 2, 3 in the draft last year who was rookie of the year or second or third, when they come to this, they go, oh, we hooping.
Yeah.
I'm playing these little young boys. Why, you're not even going to see what's going to happen to these next guys. I would love to see these high draft picks like Chet, like some of the other guys come out and hoop. Without having, sometimes you need less is more. Giddy is a playmaker.
Yeah.
He makes plays for other people. So, yes, the more experience for him is better, I think.
Yeah.
When you bring in guys who are scorers and shooters, that may take away the opportunity for your wings that you bring in to say to Richard, like, they're not going to bring in Jason Kidd and say, like, hey, go play with Richard. You want Richard to make plays and learn them so that he could do it 3 times instead of 1 during a game. If you get 10 shots, Jay Kidd wants you to shoot all 10, but you may make the right play.
Well, and that's where, like, if you have a veteran guy like Green, like if you were to say invite him here, maybe you only have him play three games, three of the seven or eight games. So it's like, hey, now you got three games of playing with your future teammate, and ultimately we want to lead, right? We want this to lead towards wins, right? You want this to lead towards wins in the future, and the sooner you can speed up that process, that was it. I truly think that teams make it seem like 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds should choose whether or not they go to summer league. And if your team, as a team, you're choosing not to send your player to summer league after his first couple of years, you're hurting his development. And I only say this from experience.
Unless they have a serious injury.
I'm talking about a healthy player. I'm talking about a healthy player.
Right.
And, like, your goal should have been, unless you had surgery or something, when the season's over, you take your month off, you get back to work, you really should start working towards summer league. Even third year summer league, you know, I had Scott Skiles come up and tell me, he's like, hey, Richard, you know what I would really appreciate? He was like, hey, if next summer during summer league, if you can come and just practice with the guys. So maybe I can be like, yo, this guy looks good until I see him next to a real pro, right? And he was saying this to me, and I was in my year 10.
Don't
I'm like,
a lot of guys do that?
Yeah,
isn't
no, but
John Morant.
Yeah, but that's that? But guys yeah, will come guys? Here and oh, practice right, right, right. And mess around. Gerg used to have a camp, and it's like, oh, this guy, man, oh, our second round pick looks good. Our second round picks look good. He might play until all of a sudden you see him next to like a guy that's like an actual rotation player. Now you might look at him a little differently. But this is the experience. Or you'd be like, no, he can play. Like, look at how he defended this. Look at like Matisse Thybulle. He was a late first round pick. This dude was an all world defender here in his first 2 years. But Doc Rivers didn't even know. Doc Rivers traded. Doc Rivers didn't draft him. Doc Rivers got here his second year. And I was like, yeah, it's crazy that he broke the Pac-12 record in steals. He's like, he did? And it's like, sometimes as coaches, like you seeing a guy versus like an actual pro and seeing what they're capable of doing can change your assessment of a player. So I just don't want to gloss over summer league. Like, this isn't a valuable tool that people aren't using probably to their fullest capability.
Whether it's just to be seen or fashion or playing.
Yes.
Summer league is hype. Where it's at for about 10 days in July. That's for sure. Guys.
What? Is your cocktail kicking in?
No. I was going to go one direction, but I want to ask you your thoughts, because it kind of came out just recently about the Warriors. In the luxury tax.
Pay that money.
You saw what Joe Lacob said.
How much is a championship?
Joe Lacob said, in fact, in Vegas, we're going to be at the Board of Governors meeting Tuesday. Let me tell you, they're not happy. It's not just us. Other teams are going into the luxury tax now as well. We kind of blew a hole in the system, and it's not a good look from the league's perspective. What is your take on that?
Well, I don't fully get the context. What's he saying it as?
Buying championships.
Oh, that I don't think they bought a championship. I don't think they bought a championship. They paid their players.
They don't want to see it happen. There are limits. I'm not going to say what they are, but there are limits on what you can do.
Well, this is when this is where they get afraid as if somebody has. But see, only in capitalism. See, in America, capitalism is really popular. Right? Like Walmart, you know, Amazon, Tesla, like capitalism's great.
Target,
you know, capitalism's great. Then all of a sudden it gets to sports teams and you're like, we need to stop what this group of people can make, right? Because we want fairness. Well, capitalism isn't about fairness. And if you can afford to pay your players by the rules and you got to pay a tax and you're willing to pay the tax, for instance, Paul Allen, right? One of the richest men in the world, recently, you know, passed away. The Lakers called the Trailblazers and they were trying to do a trade, and they were like, hey, this is our deal and we want to offer you guys cash. And they were like, oh, we don't take cash. And like, what do you mean you as a team you don't take cash? Like, that's part of like the, like, you know, structure, cash considerations. And they're like, we have one of the richest men in the world that own our team.
And that cash ain't paying for
cash ain't doing nothing. Cash ain't doing nothing for us. You tell Paul Allen we traded our second round pick and we got $500,000 cash, he'd be like, well, our second round pick could have become a great player. Don't get me cash, get me assets. So, when you got deep pockets, the way you view this business is different.
Let's just keep this a buck. They drafted Steph. You draft Dre. Then you trade for Andrew Wiggins, who everybody in the league had a certain stigma about. which I'm not going to repeat, including myself at the time.
Yeah.
He comes here. He accepts his role, especially in a bad year. Then the next year, they're talking about if Steph wasn't Steph, he'd be a finals MVP. He had 17 and 17 games, 15 and 17. So, like, where did they go wrong? Then they draft James Wiseman. Then they draft Kuminga. Like, who, like, because they pay their guys who are their guys, why in the world are you, like, punishing them for that? You're only going to get that for so long. Until somebody beats that, whatever that luxury tax is, I'm doing it. Because you notice, Cleveland, it took 50 years for Cleveland to win a championship. What Golden State has is immeasurable when it comes to money.
Yeah.
Like, it is, if any person on any owner could emulate what Golden State is doing, and they said, here's a price tag, I promise you the city would pony up and get it.
I wonder if Oklahoma City would do things differently now with James Harden, KD, and like would they keep that? Would they pay the money to go into the tax and try? I don't even know what the salary cap implications would have been to try and keep three future MVPs, right? Like, you're penalizing a team, and you're saying, if we can afford this, this is what we're willing to pay. Mm-hmm. And even if you look at it from I know I was joking about capitalism, but when LeBron James left Cleveland the first time, the downtown area.
I don't want to talk about
the downtown area was a ghost town, right? The casino, the restaurants.
I don't want to talk about
the. It was bad.
I didn't, though, actually.
We're just
not talking, where I live. Yeah. No one knows where Ali Clifton lives.
Yeah.
So, no one.
So it's basically like when he came back
behind Dover Gardens.
Oh God, the Dover Gardens burger,
dude. It was
the
so
wings.
Good.
The wings were on fire.
No, but that's easy.
I just think the guys make so much money, and for everybody that keeps talking about how much money the players are making, the reason why these salaries are getting so high is because the owners are making so much money. We split the money with them 50-50, basically. So, like, when you see somebody signing a $250 million deal, like, when you see Jokic signs 276, it's because, you know, the Kroenke family's making $300 million or more. So, it's like, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like, all this money gets split. We don't make more than the owners. And so, for the owners that have to go into the tax and pay some of that money, fine. Like, if they want to pay, give some of the money back, give it back.
Think about what Jokic does for the Nuggets in Denver, downtown Denver.
Every game sold out.
What? Every game sold out.
Every night.
Two-time. How many? I think there's only been 6 two-time MVPs in the history of basketball, and you have an opportunity to keep him.
Can you
and
name
pay
them?
Him his value.
Steve Nash. Steve Nash. Yep.
Jordan.
Jordan.
Magic.
Magic. Maybe Bird.
Kareem.
I don't know if Kareem. Giannis. Jokic.
Ooh, forgot
about that. Oh, come Tim on, Duncan, you guys. Come
Wilt Chamberlain.
On. You're talking back-to-back MVPs?
Yeah.
Come on. I can't with you.
Wait, I'm
what
trying
to... What do you mean you can't? LeBron, but you're looking at Siri.
LeBron won a back-to-back.
Yeah.
I want to say, how many has there been, Allie?
I'm going to look it up.
We don't even have a voice of God here at the studio.
Anyways.
Yeah. What the hell?
I'll say this. Downtown Denver, the excitement, the enjoyment of players going... Oh, I remember when Jokic won his MVP.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
all
I remember.
All the bars are filled up.
Now they become fans. Mm-hmm. You have to keep those guys because you're looking at what they're making now, but you're not looking at generational fans.
Yeah.
Oh, this when is you a great players. Trivia.
Is yeah. It? How many has there been? What, 10, 11?
There's been 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Damn.
12, 13.
13. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
10, 11.
All right. 13. Who did you get? Who did you
guess? We got LeBron. We got LeBron. We got Steve Nash. We got Tim Duncan.
Yep.
We got
Jokic.
Jokic.
Yep.
Giannis.
Yep.
Magic.
Yep.
Larry.
Yep.
Did we say Jordan?
Did we say Jordan?
You didn't, but yep.
Kareem.
Yep.
John Havlicek.
No.
Bill Russell.
Yes. Wow. I wasn't sure.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, didn't Jerry West do it twice?
Will Chamberlain. There's
Bill.
Two more.
Mikan.
Nope.
Like, is it in the 50s or 60s?
Wait, that's the only one that you have left.
We all got one left. God, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good. That's we nice, bro.
Hang on. You have one left. That's early 80s.
Early 80s. Dr. J. No.
Nope.
Early 80s. Moses Malone? Moses Malone. Come on, man. We know our shit, bro. We know our shit, y'all.
Big Mosey.
Now, the one that three.
Todd,
that won.
Well done, my friend.
MJ. MJ.
No.
MJ didn't win.
No,
MJ,
good try.
MJ didn't win three.
It's got to be like Bill. It got to be old school.
Wait a second.
Three in a row. Larry, Wilt. No, Larry.
Okay. Yes.
Bill.
Yes. And you already said it, Wilt.
Wilt.
Yeah.
I wish there was a station that would literally take MVPs of each year, find all the footage they have, and play it for like 3 days straight. Like
you know,
every
you know when
game.
That happened? What? COVID.
Oh God.
That's when that happened.
I know. We watch a lot.
People would go, "Oh, what is this guy that good?" And then you would see the film and realize like how good those players were. And sometimes we talk about the old school players, and sometimes the old school players talk about us. But realistically, how much film of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? He made 1 3 in his career. Have people watched?
Like, he made 1 3. I don't. Were you on? No, you weren't on the episode when we talked about that. He made 1 3, and he's made 39. He scored 39,000 points.
Buckets.
39,000.
Pure bucket. He was a bucket to death.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like I wish
they don't rate
well.
Film. They don't rate well, Channing. Watching a 1986 grainy film with Chick Hearn talking, with all due respect, it doesn't rate well. So that they'll give you the finals, they'll give you those. Yeah. If someone had a marquee game, and it'll say at the bottom when Magic had his 44-point triple double.
Right.
So it's like, oh, this is what I'm watching to specifically look at one thing.
If you guys could play in any era,
now,
really?
What?
Well, the money, yes.
No, I feel selfish. Like I would have practiced dribbling more, and then I would have been $100 million.
Honestly?
I can't really move my feet that well, though.
Honestly, I think, maybe it was because it was where my prime was, but I think the era that we played, like.
Why are you pointing at me?
I'm saying that we played it.
Right now.
I like the physicalness of the game.
I didn't like having to guard Shaq.
See,
I
didn't have to go. See, that's respect. No one liked guarding those guys. So I don't even view that. I'm saying for me, I wouldn't want to play a game where like it was nothing but threes and I shot 14 threes. Like if I didn't try and dunk on people 10 times, like that's what I woke up.
Sign me up.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We were different. Wake up and dunk on people. Like that was the only, like me hitting 7 threes might make SportsCenter. If I caught a body, that was going to be number one, number two, top five. That's going on. Like that's what I wanted to do. So like, I like the era where that's where people were trying to do. That was the gold. Now it's like, if I like would sprint now, they don't even sprint for dunks on transition. Rich, they like run out to the 3-point line. I want to run for dunks.
I disagree with you a little bit about where your game would absolutely excel.
And I'm saying would I excel? I'm saying what I would like. Yeah, the question was
with the
where
spacing
I would like.
Now. Here's the problem. With the spacing we have now, guys get boomed on the regular. So unless it is, we have seen every dunk known to man. So people getting dunked on is only amazing when they are two names. When Embiid dunks on.
Vitaly! Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey.
Big V. Big V.
Big V.
One of our assistant coaches from the Cavs when we won the championship was there.
Listen, when Embiid dunks on Karl Anthony Towns, that is SportsCenter number one for 3 days.
Yeah.
When Joel Embiid dunks on somebody else,
that's
name stuff. But you would have so many opportunities to drive right from
and I
the
wanted
left
to dunk
corner.
On, I only wanted to dunk on bigs. There's not as many bigs. Channing, I'm just telling
you,
there's
bigs.
Not as many bigs.
All the bigs.
Richard,
all the bigs
could you dunk a basketball right now?
Yeah. I could dunk a basketball right now.
If you gave me 2 weeks,
not just like go up and like lay it in, like dunk a basketball.
Yes.
In an NBA game.
If you put me in summer league.
Are we playing half court?
Listen, if you put me in summer league right now, I could catch a body.
What?
100%.
Richard, you pop a hamstring.
Are we about to watch him pop a hamstring on Monday?
No. Let me say this. I'm not saying that like, I would just like grab a beer and go throw in a jersey. What I'm saying is if you were like, if you were like 3 weeks ago, hey, Richard, you know, go play in summer league. We're going to have you play one game. I could catch a body. First of all,
this is coming off Channing, his like touching finals appearance on the sand where he felt like sand volleyball
lost in the finals to my guy Troy Fields,
who good is luck participating in the
Hermosa Open. Is Chase Buttinger champ, lost to him in the finals of the four man.
But let's like, Chase doing? Let's talk about Chase Buttinger.
Chase is doing great. He just had a baby.
Chasey.
Shout out to the only white dude I ever seen jump from
2 feet from the free throw line and dunk it.
Yeah, Jay Fine, his beautiful wife.
From the free throw line, dunked it.
What other sport did he play?
Basketball and volleyball.
Oh, just those two.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he was just the greatest at those two. Yeah.
I played him one time in volleyball, and you know, anybody who loves video games, you know, like Street Fighter, Ken and Ryu throw them Hadoukens?
Yeah.
He hit that bitch so hard at me one time, I just say, you know what? Nah. It had fire coming off of it. Poof, and hit the sand so hard it made glass. I said, nope. Check up.
Vitaly, you want to come in? Do you want to come in? Yeah, come in. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, you can come in.
We'll talk about it.
So do you know Chase? You know, so Chase, like when he was young, he was like a phenom. But he was kind of like, when you say, like when you watch like those guys that are just big and different playing the sport, Chase was 6'8" with a 40-inch vertical, but like moved around, super agile. Yay, Vitaly!
How are you?
You want to sit down? You want to talk to us? Yeah, sit down.
Join us. Yeah.
We're just sitting here.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Guys, see, this is the beautiful thing about being here in the wing. Yeah, grab a headset. Yeah, what's up, Vitaly?
How you doing, guys?
Big B.
Are you allowed to be here?
I don't see why not.
B, for the people listening, where are you at? Where are you coaching?
Hang on. No. Channing, you should know this. Trivia. Where is Vitaly coaching?
In Memphis.
Oh. I saw him last season. Yeah, he was in Portland.
It was the only game I went to. Oh. Hey, low-key, I like the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, yeah. I would pay to watch them, like, out of my own pocket.
Yeah. It's because you feel like you're watching Coach Carter's team.
Oh, my God. I like it that they have a chip on their shoulder, and they like grew something out of nothing. And I think Ja Morant's one of my favorite players to watch.
He was the second pick. How's that nothing?
Jaren Jackson Jr. Okay, so there's been a lot of number two picks.
That don't amount to nothing. Yeah.
I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is a lot of fun to watch because he shoots that thing like I would shoot it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, why'd you shoot? Oh, good shot.
Can we talk to
this Vitaly? This is Vitaly Podopinko for those tuning in. He is now with the Memphis Grizzlies. He was with us with the Cavs. Way back when we just saw him walking through the hallway. How is coaching? How are you? How is everything going?
I'm great. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. I watched you guys before, and you know, so your podcast. I appreciate it for having me. But yeah, I agree with you. We're an exciting team. The last 2 years we improved. You know, we have a talent like Ja Morant. You know, Jaren Jackson, they had a great year. And the one thing I have to point it out, why team grew, because Ja was injured, and we had other injuries with, you know, main players, but guys stepped up.
Weren't you guys 20-8?
No, they were at a better record than that. They only lost like three or four.
20-3.
Without Ja, we had a good record. Obviously, we played some teams, you know, we sure had a win, but I think everybody else stepped up and played their role well. Guys had no pressure. Tyus Jones had a great year,
yes.
You know, playing, being backup, and also as the role of starting point guard.
Wait, can we talk about, I don't know if you guys have been watching Summer League, but have y'all seen Big Boy going to work, Kenny Lofton Jr.?
Hey, yo. Yeah. He reminds me, okay, listen. Okay. I loved playing against Z-Bo. I saw Z-Bo at the airport. And him and I, like, we are completely opposite.
Great dude.
The greatest dude and the nicest. But we would tell the ref, hey, we gonna fuck each other up tonight. Let us go. Because it was my chance to, like, see how physical I could get. Now, mind you, I was in the ice tub.
Devo was doing that every night.
For me, I was like, you know, in Phoenix, so I'm shooting these threes. He goes, well, hey, you can't be shooting all these threes. I said, what am I going to do, post you up? Stop it. I love Lofton's feel, his skill. And that's what I was telling my brother Logan. I was like, I would rather be 6'7 to 6'9 skilled and physical than taller and athletic. Because I think this game now, the game that we play, is very skilled. If the teams that win, if you look at Boston, if you look at Golden State, if you look at Dallas, if you look at the Suns, they have five skilled players when they want to win on a court that can make decisions, right? Which back in the day, it was like you had one or two guys that made decisions and everyone else went like this. And they had one job, right? There's no more specialists in the game. Yeah,
I agree with you. And that's the beauty of like having two lineups.
Right.
You can go big lineup, you can go small lineup, you can be your five skilled wife, you know, five who can stretch the floor, mm-hmm. shoot the ball, you know, who can score. Definitely skilled player. I need to get in better shape, you know,
right.
to play in totally. The game. But it's a process.
Doesn't everybody?
Know. But no, right. but that's the thing. For him, you look like, look, our boy Kevin Love, right? You look at even, I'll say Draymond, even Z-Bo. When these guys who have like a different type of build, and Zion's one of those guys that's going to have to do it. When those guys change their bodies and compliment to Kevin, because we know what Kevin, we know the amount of time that Kevin put on his body, right?
Some things never changed.
But I'm saying the amount of time that Kevin had to put on his body to change it, it's crazy. And if that's what you're, if he does that, if Kenny Lofton Jr. does that and becomes like the physical strong, lose that, you know, 10, 15 pounds and stays there.
It's just baby fat.
Yeah.
How old is he?
No, but this is the thing.
He's only 19, right?
What? Stop it. He's skilled like that, man?
Yeah, he's got a motor, but he's got.
He is. I know, but what you're asking him is to, you ain't eating mama's cooking no more, and we're playing every single day. So I know some guys can handle this, some guys can't. But with his skill and opportunity, he has a big opportunity to play on this team. He's out of this draft. I think he's next to Chet. I think he's the most unique.
I think he's
the most unique player out of this draft.
I think he could become have a good career, functional big.
For
you know,
sure.
I mean, starting or even coming to the bench, but play major.
He plays with his eyes up. So now that I've gotten older, guys that play basketball with their eyes up, he's making moves like he's at the park versus top three picks. Versus regular guys, like
he's
I
strong,
like his game.
Bro.
I saw him. I thought he was 6'7". He looked at me in the eye. I said,
"That's a fine.
That?
That's a fine." Hey, Vitaly, really quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. Like, so you walked by us one time. You went to the store, and then you walked back. Like, what were you getting out of the store?
I just got some snacks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
But
dude, I paid like $30, you know what I mean? Never again.
Vitaly, I have to ask you one question since we're here. In 2016, you were with the coaches when we won.
Yeah.
When, like, what was those, don't give us the details, but what were those conversations like? And when did you guys go, holy shit, we got a chance?
So,
great question.
I mean, definitely, you know, I mean, the game, yeah, the game seven. I mean, when we make
it. Game seven.
No. But I'm saying, like, game seven.
The last 2 minutes.
Game seven, yeah. We we're in it. But, like, second and third game, we start coming back and winning, and we got there. Okay, we feel a groove, we're going. But still.
You
it was everything 50-50.
Right.
We were like, won the game, it was 50-50.
Right, that's a fine. Vitaly got the...
It's another $1,500.
That's not fine. That's why the minute our coach hears it, fine.
But you know, I mean, we were 50-50. And I mean, we already been set so much, you know, coverages, everything. So it came down to making plays, you know what I mean?
If there was a moment that you look back that makes you smile, whether that's the first round sweep in Detroit, second round sweep in Atlanta. And then and then going beating Toronto gentlemanly.
Yeah. Gentlemanly.
Which of those three, not the finals, which of those three was your like, okay, let me go and let me see.
I think Toronto. I think like going in, we saw Toronto going to be toughest opponent.
Right.
You know, I mean, they battle tested the number of talent they had, but you know, ended up with, you know, we swept them. It was like the best.
That's a five.
It was like another best year. Some of the assistant coaches calling me, so.
I was about to say, you got to be
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have to get ready. I have to get ready.
I was like,
I feel. Guys, thanks for having
me. How do
me.
I explain the Larry?
All the best.